Welcome to the Gentleman Ultra podcast. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by the king of all things provincial Italian football, the doyen or the walking encyclopedia, that is lower league Italian football, I should say, Andy Wallace. Thanks very much for joining me.
Hi, Frank. It's a pleasure to be back on.
Yeah, that's a third time, your third cap, and I think you're one of the few three-time guests, so it's always awesome. Everyone loves hearing from you, so...
You had to keep the podcast. That was going to be my question three times.
Oh no, it's unreal to have you back. So I thought, we're past the halfway mark, but we're approaching the playoffs. So why not catch up on some of the former Serie A clubs that are currently plying their trade in the Lega Pro, whether it be Group A, Group B, or Group C. I wanted to run through those with you, but also you've published or you finished your 99 Legends of Calcio series, which of course is available on the Gentleman Ultra website, the greatest Twitter thread of all time, as far as I'm concerned. What did you learn by writing it? And was there anyone that you sort of grew to like even more or dislike even more as you wrote, 1 through 99, A through to V? Of every Italian club, I should say.
Yeah, I think, when I started it, I probably didn't appreciate, even how little information you can find in a lot of clubs' history. Because obviously I'm familiar with a lot of the bigger clubs' history, not just, Serie A, but also, Serie B, Serie C. But a lot of the smaller clubs like, Arzignano, even Prosesto, this kind of historic club from the Milan hinterland, but they're online footprint is very small. So it's very difficult to kind of, delve into their history and find out. What I was trying to do is identify, the one figure in each club's history who you could say was this kind of bona fide legend, perhaps the most important player in their history, which is impossible because, you look at someone like Milan and how do you choose between, Baresi, Maldini, Rivera, It's an impossible task. So it's supposed to be a kind of you choose one and then delve in on them.
Was that the hardest one to pick? AC Milan.
I think that was certainly one of the ones. There were other ones like Fiorentina, who ended up going for Antonioni from the 80s. But how can you leave out Battistuta? so it's really difficult. And Juve as well, you've got, Platini and, Boninsegna and guys like that, and Del Piero, obviously. And then there were kind of, so some of the stories, like there was one from Montevarchi, who, play in Serie C, quite a historic side in Tuscany. And it was, they had a player before the war who became their manager. And just in the kind of the last few months of the war, Montevarchi played this friendly against San Giovanese, who are their kind of traditional rivalries, or at least it was a representative side of a nearby town. And this whole thing descended into a riot, basically. The players were all chased back into the changing rooms, and the Montevarchi, manager at the time, was assassinated. He went missing, and then it was found later on that he had been assassinated, basically. And it's kind of a sign of the times, the kind of late end of the war, after. Months and years of resistance where people were going missing all the time, where, death was perhaps seen as something a lot less or a lot more everyday than it is now. And you just go back into that. And it's, and there are a lot of these tragic stories throughout Italian football. Renato Curi, who played for Perugia, he passed away on the pitch against Juventus back in 1977, I think, 76, 77. Obviously, Erasmo Iacovone at Taranto, who passed away at age 26 in a car crash. A lot of these very tragic stories. So it was quite nice to kind of to delve back into them and see how they affected each of the clubs themselves. So yeah, it was quite an enjoyable thing to do, an interesting thing to do.
Yeah, a real eye opener. It was awesome to read, and inevitably it was after reading, who's today legend was, then obviously a new tab would open up and type in the name, and then away you go into that little rabbit hole. That's how I
Yeah.
found myself, reading it every day. How'd you find the time, and where did you find the time to research and write every one of them?
Mostly on the tram on the way to work. It was kind of one of these things where you just you'd do a little bit of research on your phone and then just type it away. So there wasn't it wasn't as if I was in the library with tons of books and things like that. It was just yeah, it was a kind of a way to pass my commute into and from work.
Oh, a labor of love, a labor of love.
Exactly,
Yeah.
exactly.
And then the other thing I was going to ask you, why do you think there's, given the fact that you're what I consider a writer and that you're from Scotland, why is it that there's so many Scottish Italian football fans and so many Scottish Italian football writers?
I think, I mean, there are kind of two groups there's one group that has Italian heritage, who obviously, has grown up with, a background of being Italian in Scotland. That's quite a large group. And they will always have that, that they'll be rooted in Italian football to a certain extent as well. But also in Scotland, obviously there are a lot of people who are very interested in Italian football who write about it, talk about it, who don't have that heritage. And I don't know, I wonder if just,
Because you don't often
have.
see, like a stack of people, Scottish people that love the Bundesliga, for example, or that follow the La Liga. I just seem to realize that it's like every second person I talk to is of Scottish
I mean,
background. They love Serie A,
yeah, I think
which is
certainly.
awesome.
It certainly comes from the football in the 90s, televised football in the 90s. And the fact that perhaps in Scotland you always had a big team. You had your normal team and you had your big team. So, for me it was, Dundee, growing up, my local team. And in the past, like my dad had an English team he would support. So I don't know if it's maybe growing up in the 90s and you're looking for that kind of big team to follow. And so you're watching Italian teams every week, so you choose the Italian team. In my case, I think first time it was, I think I fell in love with Aldair first, so I started following Roma and then changed. I've never really settled on one Italian team. It's always been going from one thing to another. My brother was a Juventus fan, which made me staunchly anti-Juventus. So yeah, and maybe in England, for example, maybe you don't have that, that same active of looking out for a big team, trying to identify your big team, because the English league is massive in itself. So perhaps that plays into it. Yeah,
Was
but
there
you're right.
other, like, growing up, did you have a lot of people following Italian football? Was it as when you're at school or as a teenager, or it wasn't
Yeah.
the common thing?
Just because, we'd play football every Sunday morning. We'd go and, we had the football training. Basically, the whole town, went to the same complex to train, and it was always the same. Everyone watched Italian football before it, and then they'd go in or they'd watch on the, I think it was Saturday morning, they'd watch it, and then they'd train on the Sunday morning, and then come back, and then it was the live game on the television. So it was everyone was. It weren't necessarily following a team, but they were watching it. It was
Yeah,
on.
watching it. Yeah, it's on. Yeah.
And that
Even if
wasn't the same with
it was on
the,
in the background.
yeah, and it wasn't the same with the English Premier League. Even, you've got Match of the Day, which obviously has this massive reach in England, but, it's on at 10:30 at night. If you're 7, 8 years old, you're not staying up till 10:30 at night. So you're watching more Italian football than anything else.
It's just interesting. Pardon my ignorance, but is Dundee? You said you supported Dundee
Yes.
United, right? Dundee United.
No. No,
No.
the better one.
Okay, that's what I was about to ask. Are they a one? Is it one team city, or have they got two?
It's a two-team city. That's Dundee is a city where you've maybe seen it before. We have the Dundee Stadium and the Dundee United Stadium on one street.
Oh,
They're
okay.
both in the same camera shot. It's like it's like Liverpool and Everton, but even closer. Funnily enough, both of them have reached European Cup semi-finals. Both lost to Italian sides in 1963. Dundee, after winning the Scottish League, reached the semi-final of the European Cup, lost to Milan.
Wow.
And in 1984, Dundee United did the same. They lost to Roma in the semi-final, which obviously Roma would lose the final to Liverpool in Rome. So yeah, it's a city with quite a long football heritage, which is it's incredible to you can't imagine that now. A club the size of Dundee or Dundee United getting to the semi-finals of the European Cup, but
So how are
yeah,
they? How are
since they dismantled football.
they? I was going to say, how are they traveling now, the two of them?
Not particularly well. Both of them have turned into kind of yo-yo clubs of sorts. Dundee are in the the what's it now the championship, the second tier. But yeah, also Dundee a lot of Italian players have come through Dundee in recent years, particularly in the early 2000s where Ivano Bonetti was the Dundee manager at the time, and he brought in even Claudio Caniggia. Guys like that, big names, Fabrizio Ravanelli. So yeah,
Wow. Yeah, it's a big names. Well, speaking of yo-yo clubs, that's a perfect segue. Group A. So we'll kick off our little, I guess, season, what do you call it, half season review, and with the playoffs and all that that's coming, like we mentioned, that are coming up. So Group A, and we'll concentrate just on some of the bigger, like Serie A clubs or teams that have gone before us from Serie A. So the first one I was looking at was Piacenza. So what can you tell us about their season and the club? And not only this will be just applied to just them, but to all the clubs. We're sort of looking for I guess a general health of the club, what's going
I
on
think
around the place, and what the atmosphere, I guess, and the environment is of this particular club that we're going to talk about, well, for all the groups. But yeah, for Piacenza, yeah, take it away.
with all these clubs we're going to look at, I think you have to kind of place it into a historical context where you look at where they were perhaps and where they are now. And for most people, Piacenza, the last time they remember Piacenza was maybe in 2002, 2003 when they were in Serie A with Dario Hübner. Scoring the goals up front, and just how that decline has come about, and again, the story with most clubs is quite similar in a way. It involves a lot of bankruptcies and things like that.
Like chasing their tail, is that right? Like they're essentially spending the money to try and get back up into Serie A at first attempt. They don't make it, and then they've got to strip the club and otherwise to survive. Is that what happens in a lot of the cases?
It can be. A lot of the time, it's just the case that when they did get to Serie A, they tried to spend so much when they were in Serie A in the first place that as soon as they go down, they just can't,
They
it's not even a
can't
case of
afford
trying
it,
to
yeah.
spend to go back up, but they can't afford all the debt they've built up. They can't afford the high running costs that they've built up. So, Piacenza, in their case, they went back down to Serie B and they were actually a stable Serie B side for several years throughout the 2000s. In fact, and they would have got promoted in 2007 again, if it weren't for being in the same division as Juventus, Napoli, and Genoa. They finished fourth that season. But in their case, I mean, it took a bit longer for them to kind of go under. It was 2012. They went bust, went down into Serie D, where they stayed for a few years, and then in 2016 they came back up into Serie C. With Piacenza, I mean, just now you look at them, they're second bottom of the table. It looks like all ambition has gone out the club, and you kind of trace that back maybe to 3 4 seasons ago where they were at the top of Serie C all season, and then on the last day they lost at Siena to allow Virtus Entella to leapfrog them. Those days Piacenza were getting 6,000, 7,000 through the gates, which in Piacenza, in that stadium in the Garelli, which is quite a horrible, horrible stadium to watch football, was a good number. Then they went on to lose the playoff final to Trapani as well. Since then, they've become this kind of mid-table club. They don't, as I say, they don't have that ambition. It doesn't look like they're going to climb at all. And you wouldn't be particularly surprised if they did go down at the end of this year, which is quite a sad thing. Their crowds have dwindled. There isn't an awful lot of, to be excited about there. It's a long, we're far removed from the days of the Inzaghi brothers and things like that.
Yeah, amazing. Because even when you look at all of the, like you look at Serie C and you look at how many Serie A clubs are in these three groups, it blows your mind. Like, and even like you've got Vicenza here, the Novara's there as well. Time going on, but Novara's that's a classic example of it, isn't it?
I did a quick count, and by my calculations, there are three divisions of 20 teams in Serie C, so 60 teams. Mm. 21 of them have been in Serie A, which is quite a high number. Just in that northern section, there are 10 of them. Teams like Provercelli, even teams like as you say, Novara, Padova, Propatria, and Lecco further back. There's a lot of history there, and it's a grueling league when you have those teams with that much history trying to get back up into Serie B. You have a lot of teams who are investing when they think they've got their chance, and they put a lot of money into it, and that obviously leads to all of these bankruptcies as well.
Yeah, and you've got Mantova in there as well, and Triestina, who aren't having a much better year than Piacenza. They're currently sitting last on the table. Is there any hope for either of those two, or are they Serie D bound, do you think, with the gap to the 18th? Actually, all three. So Mantova, Piacenza, and Triestina, the three Serie A clubs, you'd think, or ex-Serie A clubs, are all...
The way I see it, I think they're in slightly better health than Piacenza. Mantova, they were unlucky where it looked like their season was going to be kind of based around the fortunes of Morghello, their starting centre forward, who got a cruciate injury at the start of the season. Mm. So they've been, that was one of the reasons they've been struggling at the bottom there. They've got in his replacement and Bocalon, another centre forward who is proven in Serie C. So you can kind of see them climbing in the coming weeks. Last season they had a similar season where towards the end of the season they just started to get results and it just moved them up the table slightly. Mm. Triestina, they've had.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I was going to say, you're right. Carry on. But I was going to say, so after all it's said and done, who's your pick for Group A? Who's your, given what, 28 games in, 27 games in?
To go down.
Oh, no, to win. Come first, obviously.
To win?
Yeah.
Probably, the start of the season, I think, when I spoke to you at the start of the season, I think I tipped Vicenza, just because they have the best squad out of anyone. And then hedging my bets, I suppose, in a separate Twitter thread, I said that Feralpi Salò, who are top just now, would probably come through the middle, because everyone would beat everyone, they would come through the middle as this kind of team who just get enough points to win it.
Yep.
And honestly, it's a hard one to call. There are five teams at the top between 50 and 47 points. You would say perhaps Vicenza perhaps have slightly more quality than the rest of them. So at this stage of the season, I'd probably say Vicenza, if they go on a good run, will be able to win it there. But again, it's a tough one to call.
Yeah, and to go down, like Triestina are currently last, and Piacenza are 1 point ahead, and there's a big gap to 18th place.
Yeah, Triestina, they've been in trouble at the start of the season. They invested heavily in the summer. They were previously owned by an Australian Investor I've probably talked about the last time I was on, who passed away in the summer. They then moved to this kind of new ownership group of, which is basically a stable of influencers, you know, YouTubers and things like that, or at least the company
sounds like them. Sounds like concrete, solid foundations, doesn't it?
Exactly. So they invested heavily. They've been struggling. I think probably the next few months, you know, you'd expect them to be able to get themselves out of at least that bottom slot. But again, you have so many examples in the past of teams who have had the players to get them out of. You look at Livorno 2 seasons ago, and they just don't, you know, they don't survive. They stay bottom. You wonder if it's a designed relegation sometimes, if there's actually the intention to stay up, you know, for all manner of reasons. Relegation can sometimes be quite lucrative, but I think, you know, you would say that Piacenza would be the more likely club to go down there.
Yeah, and just talking to that too, for those that don't know, can you explain the process? You know, albeit as quick as you can, in what you have to do to buy a City Cheer club. It's not just a matter of, you know, going and purchasing the club, about the whole process of, you know, submitting your bid and going through the local mayor and, you know, the council, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, it depends. There are two ways you can do it. If it's a club who is surviving, so if you decide that tomorrow you want to go out and buy Provercelli, you can pretty much just go and offer whatever you want to the owner. There doesn't seem to be an awful lot of due diligence that goes into it. So you can bid on the 30th of December for a club, and the 31st of December you'll own it, basically. But it's when you have a club who has gone bust and they're starting again.
That's where I remember you mentioned.
That's where you have this process where you have to convince this, you know, the mayor of the city, because each of the clubs are the property of the city. They can become the property of the city. You know, it's the city who owns the stadium in 99% of cases.
Like you're a custodian, isn't it?
Exactly. So even though you own the club itself doesn't have an awful lot of assets. So, you know, once that goes bust, it's the mayor's turn to find the best suitor to take the club on, as you've just had in Catania, for example, where you had a few different consortiums. I think there were 4 or 5 it would have been, and it was the Australian bid that came out on top, because they decided that for both economic and sustainability reasons, that was going to be the best option for taking them forward. So yeah, it varies, you know, and that's how the fact that you can just go in and buy a club from one day to the next, I suppose, in England it's similar, I suppose, we've had similar problems.
Yeah.
You know, that's where it leads to these kind of long-term financial problems.
So should I go get a big novelty size check printed up for you and I to perhaps go and put a bid on one of these clubs anytime soon?
Yeah, and I think it probably would only have to be novelty, because you had only last spring Messina went on sale for €1, which obviously, you know, the amount of debt, and, you know, they say they're a debt-free club and everything, but you know, I think you take those with a pinch of salt. Usually when you do see someone having bought a club in Serie C, a month later, you see them come out in the press and say, yep, I had no idea that there was this much debt. The previous owners told me that there was a third of the amount of debt as there actually is here. It's a common problem.
Oh, very good. All right, Group B. So this one's jam-packed with a few old Serie A clubs, but two that we'll concentrate on. So the first one, Reggiana, and then, of course, Cesena as well.
Yeah, I think these were the clubs who went into the start of the season as favourites. Reggiana, obviously, with a proud history in the 90s and in Serie A with the likes of Paolo Futre and Sandy Olise back in that team. They, as well, have had a couple of bankruptcies in 2018, their latest one, which sent them down to Serie D. They actually are one of the very few teams who came up directly from Serie D to Serie C and then on to Serie B, because Serie C is a very difficult league to win on your first time there, even more difficult than Serie B probably, because you have a lot of teams who do go from Serie C to Serie B and then to Serie A. From going through Serie C is a lot more difficult because there is just that one promotion slot in each section, plus the playoffs where you only have one going through from there. So it's like a one in a third promotion places. Last season, they were neck and neck until the last day for the title, which they ended up blowing against. They were neck and neck with Modena, I should say. And this season, it's another team from the same region, Reggio Emilia, who they're up against, in Cesena. I've been surprised by them because they've recovered really well from the setback of last season. As manager, they have Aimo Diana, who has, you know, basically continued as he was doing last season. I think next season he'll be in Serie B. We'll see him in Serie A soon. Just he's able to get a lot out of what is a strong team on paper anyway. So they're just, I mean, they will have played by the time people listen, they'll have played Cesena in the top of the table clash to kind of decide who goes in with the best momentum towards the end of the season. They're another club who, you know, they went back up to Serie B, came back into Serie C. They've been there for 2-3 years now. It looks like their debt situation is maybe not that bad, but obviously going up to Serie B would obviously help them enormously. Cesena, who are in second place, they were bought by an American investor probably what 18 months ago. Now, Robert Lewis and John Aiello, these two American lawyers, they too come from a bankruptcy in 2016, perhaps. And they, you know, since then, they went from Serie D into Serie C. They've been there for a few years. They look, I think on their day, they're the best side there. They have some incredible talent, invested really well at the start of the season. They also have this breakout star in Steven Spendi. And I think perhaps we spoke about it at the start of the season, that Cesena have these two young Albanian twins who came through the San Marino Youth Academy, actually. You know, Christian and Steven Spendi. And Steven, who's kind of the more typical centre forward, has 9 goals to his name this season, which for a 19-year-old, is very good going, especially because he didn't start the season as the number one forward. So the question is whether they have the consistency to challenge Reggiana at the top, because Reggiana do look quite formidable, I would say.
Quick, another question without notice, just off the top of my head. Do you think it's harder to get from Serie D to Serie C than what, or do you think it's harder to get from Serie C to Serie B?
I think it's harder getting from Serie C to Serie B. I think in Serie D, usually, if you have the resources at your disposal, you can blow the other clubs out of the water. You look at Catania this season, who are, yeah, I don't know, 15 points in front. At the start of the season, you were saying, right, okay, there are a few clubs there who like Lamezia, for example, who you would have fancied to win that. But as soon as you have someone with the resources, Catania, there's no chance basically of any challenge there. There are big teams who do take a few years to come up from Serie D, but that's usually through mismanagement. You look at Livorno just now in Serie D, who aren't challenging for the, at least last time I looked in their section, they weren't challenging for the title. Which I think is due to lack of investment rather than it being particularly difficult to win. Obviously, because it's geographical, because you have these, in Serie D, you have the 9 geographical distribution sections. You can have a situation where you do have 4 or 5 quite strong clubs, and that's the case in Tuscany. There are a few strong-ish clubs, you know, Serie C level clubs who are there. But I think Serie C is a lot more difficult. You do have a lot of teams spending a lot of money to try to get up.
Make that jump to Serie B, yeah. And then, exactly, of course, Group C, that's jam-packed with, you know, names we all know. So Pescara, Avellino, Foggia, Messina, Crotone, and of course Catanzaro, who look like they're just running away with it, much to the delight of my dad and some of his friends.
Yeah, I think Catanzaro, you knew, or you got a feeling at the start of the season it was going to be a two horse race between Catanzaro and Crotone. Crotone, who were in Serie A just 2, 3 years ago, perhaps, maybe more recently than that. Both of them with really strong squads. Catanzaro just, they lost for the first time last week. They are a juggernaut. They're built to
And they
blow
scored nearly
the league
80
away.
goals, is that right? I think I
Yeah,
saw that the other
yeah.
day. They nearly
Yeah,
scored
they're
28
going.
games and 80 goals, and they've only conceded, nine, or was it nine or 10 goals?
You can see it's at least 10 now. But yeah, they have this kind of strike force where you can plug any of these four strikers into their two striking positions with Yamello, Biasci, Chanchi, and then they've got Brignola, who used to be at Benevento. You just plug them in and they'll score whatever. And even there, you look at the top goal scoring charts for Serie C, and on 9 goals, which is what, so you'd say maybe the seventh top scorer, is Yari Van de Put. And this Belgian wing back, who is a wing back, he's a left, he used to play further forward, but he is a wing back. That's where he plays. He just steams up and down that left wing, and he scored 9 goals after what 20, 28 odd rounds of the season. They're just, and you watch them play, and you don't see how the other team's going to get out. Crotone 10 points behind them just now. Crotone have, in a normal season, it wouldn't be too bad having that 63 point haul from
63
28
points.
games.
Yeah, I know, they'd be loving it.
But even the way I see it, this southern section, even though you have these big names like you were saying, Pescara, Foggia, Avellino,
Taranto.
they Taranto, the biggest of them all, of course. It's even though they're quite big names, I think the quality of Serie C as a whole is of Gironi, the southern section as a whole, is quite low. So even I think Crotone should have a few more points. I think they've dropped a lot of points there that were unnecessary. But again, how can you compete with this Catanzaro side? And obviously Pescara below them. Pescara, I don't know. I start to worry about them in the long term, because how every year, or at least last year and this year, they struggle to really challenge for the title, and they're a team who are who should be in Serie B. I think their their accountants probably say the same, that they need to be in Serie B. So again, they've disappointed, but again, they were never going to challenge Catanzaro and Crotone at the top. Foggia, slightly disappointing. Avellino, a lot more disappointing this season. And these are all clubs who are going to have to go through the grueling playoff.
Playoffs. Well,
28
I
teams.
just noticed, does that mean with Pescara and Taranto in the division, is there a derby, a Dolphin derby?
I suppose so. Yeah, it would be that Derby del Delfino. It's one of these things that as soon as you have a club on the coast, they're going to have either a dolphin attached to them,
Golf.
or something.
What was the one you were talking about recently with the mermaid? The
Oh,
mermaid
that
from
was
the was that Cavez
Cavese, but
Cavezzi.
not the Cavese who we all know, who we're most familiar with, who have spent most of their time in Serie C. This is a club from the seventh or eighth tier, who play in the, or come from the town of Cavi, in the province of Rome, but kind of in the hills up there. And so they have this mermaid on their crest, which I thought maybe it was the designer got confused or something. But actually, the designer's done a really, really good job, really faithful job to the club, because they come from this town in the hills. I think
Where the mermaids live.
George Young, a fellow Scottish resident who follows all things kind of in the Trento, in the Alto Adige region. He pointed out that actually this This town in the hills above Rome have a mermaid as their as the town's crest. That has something to do with
Wow,
many
okay.
moons ago when they fell within or fell under a government, fell under leadership who had this big military victory, this big naval victory, and because of that, for some reason, they took this mermaid as their crest. And it's it's confusing. You know, it's confusing how you can have this mermaid so far from the sea. And with Cesena as well, you have something similar. Cesena have this seahorse
Yeah, that's
for
right.
the crest,
Yeah,
and
yeah.
it's not really clear where it comes from. Cesena is a fair bit from the sea. It's usually the Cesena's rivalry would be with Rimini, or the Rimini or the coastal side there.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's one of these things where yeah, I don't know how we got into that.
There's some
Sea
beautiful,
animals as
really,
crests, yeah.
there's some amazing Cheddar Cheese, like the king of football logos. There's some fantastic logos amongst all of those clubs and some beautiful crests.
Yeah, it certainly is. Certainly is.
Yeah. I will. I'll let you go with all of that. But yeah, with you, what's the if you could give anyone any advice if they're watching Cheddar Cheese for the first time, with the playoffs coming up, is there anything that they really need to keep an eye out or anything you need to keep a, you know, keep watch for?
I think first thing when the playoffs do approach, is the first thing to do is to be able to understand them, understand what's going on. And then, I think it's quite enjoying, like in the US, you have this kind of March Madness type thing for basketball. It's quite fun just to kind of pick one team at the start of the whole process and see how it goes on, because, 28 teams, it's a big tournament. There's not much chance that your team is going to win it. My sympathies in Serie C lie with Taranto, and even though they are 1 point off the playoff places, it's a relegationable team, a relegatable team.
In 13th position. If FIFA had their way, this would be an 80-team playoff, I
Yeah,
think.
exactly.
Yeah.
So
Well,
yeah, no, I think just.
I know watching the playoffs from what 2 years ago when I first really delved into it, and with the help of yourself, it became a much more enjoyable experience. So if all else fails, just tweet at Andy and ask him questions and bombard him with questions and tell him I sent you.
Of course, please do. Please do.
Yeah. So yeah, just let everyone know where can they find your work and where can they find you, of course.
You can find me on Twitter, Kikirata Calcistica, at C Calcistica. And other than that, remember a couple of wee things might be coming out on the Gentleman Ultra from me in the coming days. You can read there. And that's about it, I suppose.
Awesome. Well, it's been great to chat as always, Andy. It's much appreciated your time and yeah, many thanks.
Thank you, Frank. It's always a pleasure.
Well, there you go. Another great conversation with Andy Wallace talking all things provincial Italian football. Plenty more Calcio goodness on the gentlemanultra.com, including a stack of Andy's work and his 99 Legends of Calcio Twitter thread that we spoke about. Many thanks for listening. Please don't forget to rate and review and share the podcast where you can. Every little bit helps. Once again, thanks again. Take care and enjoy your culture.